I don't need, I think I need to add anything to that. One of the things about fiber initiation, I've been looking at this project for many, many years. Last year, I talked a little bit about some of the genetics of the fiber, the fiberless cotton mutants. This year, I started a project a while back using Pylos, and I crossed that by the fiberless lines. One of the reasons why you do the genetics of the fiberless is to understand how many loci are involved, and that would actually help you maybe understand the minimum amount of genes that would have involved in producing a fiber. So a few years ago, I did start working on this project and made crosses with Pylos. Okay, so my question is, are there genetic linkages between trichome initiation mechanisms of the leaves and ovules, and why would this be important? First of all, we know that cotton lint is an unbranched single-celled trichome, much like leaf trichomes. Okay, in some cases on Arabidopsis they are single-celled. In some cases on cotton, you do have single-celled fibers. Most of the times you have multi-celled fibers. Cotton lint has similar cell walls as leaf trichomes, except for the presence of xylans and lignans. Now, this was poster 68. When I made this slide, I felt the posters would still be up. I didn't know they'd be taken down at 12. But actually, it was xylans and lignin in the trichomes. What we did this last summer is look at these small leaves. And the presence of lignans and xylans and trichomes means that these are very hard, woody type things, and are probably serving as protection from predators, things that chew on leaves. Also, another poster number 69, trichome development has been evaluated in 21 cotton leaf lines. This study was basically performed so I'd know how to screen the leaves of these populations. What makes a hairy leaf? This is all very, very important. Then you compare which ones have a hairy leaf compared to maybe a fuzzless seed or a fiberless seed. This is a quote from Joshua Lee, who worked on leaf trichomes for many, many years, and in 1985 published a paper in Journal of Heredity that outlined the genetics of, basically a review of the genetics of trichome genetics. Anyway, 12 years later, cotton more glabrous than the Delta Smooth phenotype have not arrived to commercial acceptance. The lack of interest in such cottons probably stems from continuing deficits in productivity, conspicuous among which is a lag in the recovery of lint percent, pit percentage, sorry. Deficits in lint percentage could be an inherent part of the expression of glabrousness. Lint fibers are modified trichomes, and the number of these on a seed coat might be reduced as potential for the expression of glabrousness increases. I've had numerous discussions about leaf trichomes with Dr. Meredith, since he's close by and he's a fountain of knowledge. And he said, well, everybody knows that. Well, I didn't. So now, my next question is, why would it be important? So obviously, there probably are some linkages in there. I don't know what they are. I don't know if anybody knows what they are. But this little plant here is Arabidopsis, about inch and a half high. Most people have seen it. Hopefully don't see it for very long. And I'll take it down pretty quick, but I just wanted to say you have this little plant, and it has trichomes on the leaves. And the nice thing about this little plant is it's a small genome. It's all sequenced now. You can cross it and get seed probably in a month and a half. So in a year's time, you could probably do 8, 10, maybe even 12 generations. Whereas in cotton, you want to make neoisogenic lines, it's a 7-10 year event. When you're not using, well, if you don't have a greenhouse to use. Anyway, they understand the basics of mechanisms of fiber initiation. The TTG, the GL3, TTG, GL3, GL1, also over here, and CPC, other things like that, they understand that these things are all involved. three of these, TTG, the GL1 and GL3, are major events for fiber initiation. These other transcription factors work in other ways. Now, why is this important? Numerous studies have been shown that it links basically Brachycales and Malvales, the family of Rabidopsis and Gossypium, very close together. As you can see in this little square right here, I enlarged it, so these are all urosids to the family, or maybe that's not kingdom, but yeah. Anyway, they're very closely related. Up here, you have different modes of trichome initiation. Different proteins are involved. There's still transcription factors, but they are different. So if I was going to guess and ask myself where I'd look first, I'd say I'd look at the same genes that they're looking at in Arabidopsis. Many cotton people have taken this and ran with it and said, oh, this is what's going to happen to the ovules. Well, I'm not so sure, and as the research goes on, it looks like that's not what's going to happen. However, most likely it is going to happen in the leaves if it is similar or identical. And I just threw a pilos plant in here because you can see the hairy leaf and you can also see the hairy bowl. And I made this slide over a year ago, so I just kept it. Anyway, one of the goals, I was actually wanting the next slide to be a picture of a gel to show expression. I tend to want to make antibodies to these proteins. So we have designed, or constructed at least three of these already, synthetic genes. These synthetic genes are basically genes with the codons changed, so it has maximum expression in Pichia pastoris, which is a yeast. And you can grow up yeast and purify the protein and then hopefully make the antibody. You can also do studies on those proteins. So right now, my technician, if she's still at work, because it's got a little bad weather up in Stoneville, was supposed to be silver staining this gel today, because we actually purified the protein, if it was there, and then basically ran it. We also have CPC and MIB-73. MIB-73 is my own designation. It's just something that I know where we got it from. These three are all in Pichia, and hopefully we'll have expression of those in the near future, the very near future, because we need to make antibodies and go back and check to see how the leaves are actually reacting. Okay, here we have an Arabidopsis trichome. I believe this is single-celled, but it has multiple branches. This summer, I was looking, doing a survey, as poster 69 would show you, and this is a small leaf of a small smooth leaf of Delta Pine 5690. As you can see, it looks totally different than a Arabidopsis leaf. So the mechanisms in cotton are probably a lot more complex. Here you're dealing with what we call glandular trichomes, these little balls. Sometimes they're red due to anthocyanins, sometimes they're clear. And then you have usually multicellular trichomes. This one has, it looks like five, maybe six. That one's coming off. And there's probably maybe one or two singles on here. Double there. Yeah, I'm not going to look for it. But anyway, wonderful picture, and I was real excited to get it. But it kind of shows me that there's a more complex system in cotton than I was hoping for. And that's always the problem when you do research. So now what I've been proposing for a few years and actually have started working on is using the fuzzless and fibrous mutants to establish linkages between leaf and ovule trichomes. Well, we've already seen that most likely they exist. But by selecting and looking at the surfaces of the selected lines, and this is the abaxial surface, which is the underside of MD17, SL171, and XV142, they're all fibrous. You can see in the MD line, very few fibers. When you see a fiber, it's usually on the vein. I'm sorry, trichome. I tend to mix those, use the terms Anyway, SL171, you will see trichomes here and here. And that's the red leaf line, so you can tell it's darker. And then the XZ142, which is a Chinese fiberless, has quite a few trichomes, but not like pilos. This is a pilos leaf, and you can see eggs here and there. The line 243 is actually the dominant fuzz seed allele, and it also has a very smooth, clean leaf. So, when we crossed the SL171 with pilos, we actually had some interactions that were very noticeable. The other two fiberless lines, the MD17 and the XZ142W, when you cross them with pilos, you can actually get a pilos leaf and a fiberless seed. So there's really no interactions. But for SL171, crossed by pilos, the F2 would never have a pilos leaf and a fiberless seed, or even a nearly fiberless seed. And this is SL171. These are actually bowl pictures. And you saw the hairs on the pilos line, but the F1 lost them too. So either that's a dosage effect of the gene or something else is going on. Most likely it is, because whenever you cross DP5690 with pilos, the F1 bowl would be trichomeless. Same with 243, which is the N1 dominant fuzz seed allele, or the 143, which was the N2 dominant recessive fuzz seed allele. Or you can cross the Delta Pine 5690 with the pilos and get basically a smooth bowl. Now, a population was put out there, and this is the SL171 times crossed by pilos, and this is one of the craziest summers I've been through, and we barely got to the leaves before defoliation. But we went through and we picked the bowls that were good, because we didn't have too many this year. So we do have a seed of each one of these lines, and these are four lines that had the least amount of fiber on the seed. So when we look at the leaf, we can see some trichomes here on the stem, but very smooth. Again, here, these are the plant numbers, actually, 2609. David Fong is actually using these in a mapping experiment. So you can see trichomes here, but still, smooth leaf. When you look at the pilos on top, there's trichomes everywhere. Again, and again here. So we have smooth leaf varieties, basically. And this happens every time. It's happened 4 years straight. This is the first year I had a Keyence microscope, so I could actually take pictures of these. The Keyence is a very nice scope because it actually has a ring of LEDs around the lens that shoot down. You can have an adapter that will actually let the light go down, and then it bends at the end and reflects the light across the surface of the leaf. So you're actually lighting up the leaf, the trichomes, and not so much the surface. So you don't get the glare from the surface, but you get the trichomes lighting up. I also, a few years ago, started this one. We had an SL171 crossed by pilos and then back crossed on pilos. We selfed it in the greenhouse. I went through and I collected basically, or actually cut down all the fuzzy seed because I wanted N1. N1 is one of the components of the fiberless in the SL171. And I figured if I got enough of these, I'll eventually get lucky enough, maybe have the other two loci involved too. Well, I cut down all the fuzzy, I grew the plants back up after cutting them back and got as many seed as I could off them. Then I planted them in the field last year. Now, these were defoliated before, so I'm not sure if the leaves were smooth or not, but I went through and collected the fiberless, and there weren't any that were totally fiberless, but there are some that were close. And the numbers below here, there are basically 16 plants that looked like this and 241 plants that looked like this. This was a pilos population. This was the only pilos population, and I had about 15 or 16 pilos populations out there that had anything like this. Everything looked like these two in the rest of the populations. So I'm hoping that these two were actually ones that had you know, no, hello, Rick. Basically no trichomes on the leaves, or fewer trichomes on the leaves, that is smooth leaf. We're gonna go ahead down the road here. We can only harvest about 2 bowls off these plants by the time I got around to them, because most of the seed had germinated. It was such a wet September and October. But I do have at least 1 or 2 bowls of each one, so we're gonna grow those up and cross them and see what we get. But this is just preliminary here, and hopefully this will work out. So I don't have a timer up here.
Maybe a minute.
Oh, maybe a minute. Okay, any questions? This is really weird, I know. It's always one of the problems. Anything? Time to sit down. Oh, okay. David. Yeah.
Both these plants are fuzzless. And the bows from both plants are fuzzless?
Fuzzless and almost fiberless. Okay. When you have pilose, it actually, maybe the best word is bleeds through. A lot of times I've seen fuzz on naked, dominant naked seed, and especially in the heterozygous form. You definitely see them on all the N2 lines. And it's like the pilose does something to those. It's funny because pilose probably, I'm not sure if it increases the trichomes, but what I'm seeing is it increases the branching of the trichomes. And there's some out there that had 18 branches coming off a single stalk, which is really very difficult to count. And I had to count everything by eye. So anyway, anything else?
I have a question, Rick. Did you have a chance to actually look at different positions on the plant to see if there was some variation in the number of trichomes?
Yes. The study that I didn't put all the numbers out on the poster, but I actually looked at node 1, mainstream leaves, node 1, node 3 to 15, leaving out the even numbers, because I started with the even numbers and it took about a couple days just to do one plant. Yeah, so I had to cut back, and I was counting too much too. I was counting margins and main veins and everything else. So I settled for 2 little areas of leaf disc and counted what I could. So it just got too much to be too much work.
Okay, let's go ahead and thank our speaker.